wonder how many of you have an old quality street tin somewhere at home, maybe in the garage with nails and screws and washers in it, maybe in your dressmaking cupboard with pins and needles and buttons and so on. If you've got any really nice old ones, perhaps you can take a photo and send them to us on Caring and Sharing so that we can all have a look. When you look at an old quality street tin, do you feel a sense of nostalgia? Now that's an interesting word, isn't it? Nostalgia. Let's come back to that in just a moment. In 1890, John Mackintosh and his wife opened a shop in Halifax where they created a new kind of sweet by mixing together hard toffee with runny caramel. Now, these toffees were made from inexpensive local ingredients such as milk, sugar beets, and eggs. They were so successful that in 1898, they expanded the operation to build the world's first toffee factory. But as with all good stories, it burned down in 1909. So John bought an old carpet factory and converted it into a new facility. When John Mackintosh died, his son Harold inherited the business, and in 1936 he invented Quality Street. Now, to understand the impact of Quality Street, you've got to think back to what life was like back in the 1930s. Only the wealthy could afford boxed chocolates made from exotic ingredients from around the world, with elaborate packaging that often cost as much as the chocolates themselves. So Harold Mackintosh, he set out to produce boxes of chocolates that could be sold at a reasonable price and would therefore be available even to working class families. His idea was to cover the different toffees with chocolate and to present them in low cost yet attractive boxes. And by the way, in Western Norway, Quality Street are called Shetland's God, or more commonly, Shetland's Snoops, which of course means Shetland sweets, because they were often brought home by fishermen who were visiting Shetland. And in Iceland, they are traditionally known as Mackintosh. And however old or young we are, Quality Street probably means memories and nostalgia. And nostalgia is an affectionate feeling you have for the past, especially for a particularly happy time. It can also mean a state of being homesick, a wistful or excessively sentimental yearning to return to some past period of time. And here are some synonyms for the word nostalgia: reminiscence, longing, and pining. So maybe I should ask you, what do you long for? What do you pine for? What are you nostalgic over as day by day the way of life we used to know seems to be changing? But here's an important question too. Is nostalgia even realistic? That longing for the past, do we not somehow remember the good bits and somehow forget the rest? We remember the highs and forget the struggles that people faced every day back in the day. And maybe that is why the writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 7 and verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Maybe I should read that again. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Maybe instead of living in the past, we should be looking forward to the future. And when I talk about the future, I'm talking also about eternity. So let me ask another question. Is there a quality street mentioned in the Bible? And if there is, what does it have to do with the future? What does it have to do with eternity? We'll talk more about that in a moment in part two. We move now into part two of our message for this morning. There are plenty of things to be nostalgic about if we really want to suffer from the good old days syndrome. And one thing that we have been losing over recent years is, of course, the high street. You've only got to go into Bracknell or Crowthorne and see the shops that have closed. All around the country, high streets are losing their character as shops close one after another. High streets are becoming a mass of empty shops. Colourful window displays have been replaced with metal shutters and, sadly, often graffiti. And we can easily become nostalgic. Do you remember one of the more surprising definitions of nostalgia that I read to you in part one? The state of being homesick. So let me ask you, do you feel homesick? Do you long for the home we once had? Do you long for the country that we feel that we have lost? Do you pine for the way things were back in the day? Well, this message this morning is very, very short. What I want to do now is to read to you about a new era. I want to read to you about a new city, and I want to read to you about the quality street of eternity. Let me read to you, please, from the last two chapters of the Bible. Yes, it's quite a long reading, but I hope it's one that we can all get hold of and understand. First few verses are a little tricky. Let me just pray that God will speak to us and bless us. Oh God, we pray, would you speak to us through your word this morning? Perhaps there's never been a year like this where people are pining for the past. People are afraid of the future. And maybe, Lord, what we've got to do is not look at the future in terms of tomorrow and next week and next month. We need to be looking at eternity. Looking back makes us sad, but Lord, I pray that as we look forward to eternity, you will fill us with joy and hope and a new sense of longing. Not for something we're losing, but for something that's on its way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're in Revelation chapter 21. This is the penultimate chapter of the Bible, as you know. I'm going to start reading at verse 9 and then we'll go into chapter 22. Remember, John was having this vision, and verse 9 tells us one of these seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city, that is Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high walls with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And here it comes, my friends. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. That, my friends, surely is the quality street of eternity. Now, verse 22 is interesting. What we notice here is no one's going to be late for church in eternity, because we won't be going to church. Look at what verse 22 tells us. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And equally, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And where is this river? Down the middle of the great street of the city. This again surely is the quality street of eternity. Just try and picture the scene if you can. The river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. You remember the tree of life that we last saw in the book of Genesis after the fall of man? Adam and Eve were kept away from the tree of life, but here we see it in eternity. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You don't need me to tell you that the nations around our world today, they need healing. And of course, the nations can refer to the Gentiles as well, those who have come in to the family of God. No longer will there be any curse. How many of you feel afraid of the curse of the whole COVID thing? No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy. They are true." The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." So as we enter a new year, I'm encouraging us not just to look forward to 2021, but let's look forward to eternity with Jesus. And let's look forward and not look back. Let's not be like Lot's wife. Do you remember Lot in the Old Testament and his wife? And Lot's wife, she looked back. Even though she had been told, "Do not look back," she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Let us not look back. Let's understand that this world in its present form is passing away. So all the things on the news, they should not surprise us. Let us look forward to eternity. Let us turn to Jesus in repentance. Let's give our lives to Jesus. Let's be born again. Let's live for him, love him, and long for him. Do not long for the home that we once had. Do not long for the country that we feel we have lost. Let's look forward to the return of Jesus and prepare for eternity with him.